Praise God. We figured out that the drum set is older than the girl that plays them. Isn't that beautiful? Jennifer is beautiful up there. Very cool. Praise God. God is good. Let's open up a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come here today. It's really a celebration. Every Sunday should be a celebration of you. Us thanking you, giving you the glory, giving you the praise and honor and all the things you're doing in our life and our church's lives, Father. Thank you for this. We're very blessed, Father. We're very blessed because of you, and I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I entitled this message, "The Greatest Challenge That I Can Give You." Is there anybody that needs a listening guide? If you didn't get one, the brothers have some there. They can pass you one out. My couple main passages are from really prophets that people don't talk about a lot. I'm in Habakkuk chapter 2. I think the Message version just calls him Hank, but in the Bible it's Habakkuk. Praise God. Oh boy, just thankful. Just been trying to listen and be faithful and be obedient to him. In verse 1 it says, "I'll stand on my guard post and I'll station myself on the rampart." And I looked up that word rampart. It means really a wall, a barricade, a fortification. The prophet was standing and listening and ready to hear from the Lord. It says, "I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, and how I may reply when I'm reproved." And that reproof is the message. He wanted to give the prophet a message. He was waiting on the rampart, on the wall, on the barricade, on the fortification. "How I may reply when I'm reproved." And then the Lord answered me and said, "Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets." And when I read that, I thought, well, I guess in today's time, your listening guide is kind of like the tablets. So I recorded this message on your listening guide. The one who reads it may run. And there's a couple ways you can look at that. When I first thought of it, I said, may run. When you hear this message, I hope you run to your knees. I hope you run and see the importance of prayer in your life, because that's the greatest challenge I can give you. And the other way I looked at it was, the one who reads it may run. It's the message that I may run to you to share what I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you today. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail, the Bible says. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. For it will certainly come, and it will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right with him. And I look at that, and I think of the proud one, because pride is the things that messes our relationship up with God. Pride and, you know, your own self or your knowledge or your wisdom or your money can mess with you. And your soul is not going to be right with you if you're proud. But it ends, it says, "But the righteous will live by faith." And to me, faith is bathed in prayer. Faith is all about you spending time with God and listening to him and lifting up your needs to him. And one of the biggest parts of living the life by faith is by praying. So the greatest challenge that I can give you today, probably any day in your life, is to pray. To spend time in your relationship with him and talk to him and listen to him. Because prayer is so important. Prayer is so significant. It's vital. It's imperative. It's central. It's key to your relationship with God. It's essential. It's urgent. It's necessary. Prayer is crucial. Crucial to your relationship with God. Prayer is not only important, it's very important. And you're listening, God, I put prayer is the main thing when it comes to your relationship with God. I found out through an email that was sent to me by Chad Mao that Ann Graham Lotz and 1,000 other followers, if you've heard of Ann Graham Lotz, it's Billy Graham's daughter, thousands of other followers of Christ across the nation and around the world spend 7 days praying. From July 1st to July 7th, praying. And why pray? And she put on the website, to return to the Lord our God, to rend our hearts, to repent of our sins, to cry out to God for mercy on behalf of our nation before it's too late. And I thought to myself, what? How profound. What do we need in this nation today? And the purpose of their prayer, and I look at that for our purpose, for God the Father to restrain, to protect, to deliver His people from the evil that has come into this world. The other purpose was for God the Son to be exalted, to be magnified, to be glorified in His church, because this is one of His churches here, in our nation and in our lives. And their third purpose was for God the Holy Spirit to fall on in a fresh way, compelling the church, that's us, to repent of our sin. To repent of sin in our nation, to return to the faith in the living God, resulting in a great national spiritual awakening. What a thing to do. What a thing to spend 7 days praying about. And I'm just thinking about God's Word. If we want to strengthen our relationship with God, we need to pray. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." That's what we need to do in this generation. If we want to spur one another on to share the gospel, we need to pray what Matthew 9:38 says, "Therefore beseech." And beseech means to ask or to request or beg or plead the Lord of harvest to send out workers into the harvest. If we want to see people healed, we need to pray. James 5 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He must sing praises. Is anyone among you sick?" The Word of God says, "Then you must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord." And the prayer offered up in faith, will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven him. How can we accomplish what might seem impossible in this generation? Right now, the things that are just going on in America, it seems impossible that we can fix things that are going on. But we got to pray. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he's saying is going to happen, it will be granted him." It's hard for me to comprehend that. "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received him, and that they will be granted you." That Jesus talking to us, and that's needed in this generation. How can we acquire wisdom in this generation? We pray. James says, "If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him." If there's someone seated in here today that wants to be restored in their relationship with God, pray. We were talking about in our class this morning, so many times people walk into church thinking, when they're walking in, all of us are perfect. All of us got everything put together. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Seriously, I am so lacking in prayer in my life. And it's like I want to come and confess to you that I need to spend more time in prayer. And I think you need to do that as well, because prayer changes things. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer restores relationships. Prayer can do that for you. James 5, 19 and 20 says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover over a multitude of sins." I'm telling you right now, and I got to calm down a little bit. There are people that God has put in your life that are suffering. There are people that God has put in your life that might be suffering with depression. The enemy's telling them they're not good enough, that God will never forgive you. And those are just lies. Satan is so good at twisting the truth. I had a brother, John, in the class say today, Satan always puts a little bit of truth in his lie. And it's a true statement, without a doubt. Billy Graham shared this, more can be done by prayer than anything else. Billy Graham shared, prayer is our greatest weapon. And I've been struggling the last couple of years saying, Lord, I want to grow this church for you. I want people to come in here excited about your word, ready to celebrate and give you glory and honor and praise. And I felt to myself, man, if we start community groups, people in here are going to gather together. And they're going to go out in their neighborhoods and they're going to share the truth of God's word, because people are lost in this world. People are dying. My gosh. Whew, I got to settle down for a minute. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 14. This is not in the PowerPoint, just something that the Lord put in my heart. Acts 14, 21 through 23. If you want to turn in your Bibles. It's unbelievable. Because when you open up this Bible, I don't care how young or how old you, it's God talking to you. It's God's word. It's His truth. And it's profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that we may become complete. And if you're living your life not spending time in the Word, you're falling short of what God has called you to do. If you're living your life and you're calling yourself a Christian and you're not spending time in your relationship with Him through prayer because other things have become more important to you, you're falling short in your relationship with God. Paul said in 14:21, if I can find it, praise God. He says, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. This is Paul writing. No, this is Luke writing in the book of Acts. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom. And when they had appointed the elders, and we've done that, for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. It's beautiful. Last Monday night, 7 elders got together for the first time. And for 3 weeks, I'm thinking, Lord, what do I get to share with these men that you've ordained, that our congregation, our church family said, yes, we want them to lead us. And Monday night's meeting, fellowship, was all about prayer. Was all about prayer. Because if you want to be a leader, you need to be a prayer warrior. If you're a husband or a dad and you want to be a leader in your family, you need to be a prayer warrior. You need to get down on your knees. You need to get over yourself and your agenda and what you want to accomplish and where you want to go, and start doing things God wants you to do. Because He has called each one of us. He's given us gifts. He's given us passions and talents. And we're supposed to use them for His glory. And we get this life. We don't know how long it's going to last. I've been to funerals where kids were 12 years old. We don't know how long our life is going to last. But we're going to stand before Him one day and give an account and thinking, how much was this life about you? And how much was this life about God? And we get this opportunity to gather together and share together and love on each other. The Apostle Paul, he asked for prayer. Ephesians 6, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me, and when I open my mouth, to make known with boldness to the mystery of the gospel. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for this nation. I can tell you, I confess to you that I turn on Fox News and I sit there and I just get upset and I feel like I got all the answers for the president. I got all the answers for this nation. But when you stand before God, He's going to say, did you pray for your president? Did you pray for your leaders? Did you pour in the truth to people? Because our nation is lost. We're living in a lost and dying in a crooked and perverse generation. And Paul told the church at Philippi for us to shine like bright stars in the sky, holding fast to his word, so that we won't run in vain, but we will make a difference one person at a time, one neighbor at a time, one person that works next to you at your job at a time. How can we defeat the devil? How can we defeat the things that are going on in this world that are against the things of God? We got to pray. We got to be a church family that prays. James says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Whew. It's hard to read that from the pulpit. But it's for us today. It's for me today. I shared with the elders Monday night, effective leaders win the loss and reproduce themselves by equipping leaders to take the ground from Satan, because he doesn't like that. In your listening, God, I put effective spiritual leaders recognize the necessity and the power of prayer in spiritual warfare. And this is all God ordained. This whole morning is God ordained. We had a sister come in here early that's struggling with depression. And what do? Pray for her. The whole band, all the singers, Bill, myself, we just took her back and prayed for her. Because that's what you do as a family. Don't come in here thinking everybody's perfect, that nobody's going to accept you and nobody doesn't care about you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Seriously, I might be the worst sinner in here. Pastor Caleb gave me this book a couple weeks ago, Dave Early. And in his book, it's called Prayer and the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. I read the foreword to the book. I just closed my office door and read the foreword to it. And I ran down to Elizabeth. You got to get 10 books in here. We got to go through it. We got to read it. And in the book, he said this: we are seeing an increased level of satanic attack on spiritual leaders in North America. Again and again, he writes, I have listened as broken pastors and weeping spouses recount eerily similar tales of reoccurring nightmares, strange illnesses, and unexplained opposition. More and more leaders whose theological backgrounds don't usually recognize such things tell me of wrestling with dark forces in difficult settings. And I thought to myself, spiritual leaders must pray to keep from being defeated by Satan's persistent attacks on them and on their churches. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, to fail to pray is to fail altogether. It's as simple as that. Satan will not let you simply plunder his kingdom. He will not just allow you to grow and multiply and evangelize and equip, because that's what we want to do here. We want to grow. We want to multiply. We want to evangelize. We want to equip. But he's going to fight us every inch of the way. And I want to know if there's any soldiers here. I want to know if there's any prayer warriors here. I want to know if there's anybody that's ready to set aside some time during the day to spend with our Father. Because we must not only pray to keep from losing ground, but we got to pray in order to take ground. To take ground in Warrington. To take ground in Prince William County and Fauquier County. And on our own, we're not more powerful than the enemy. But we are when we pray. Because that's where the power comes from. We can fight him successfully on our knees. We can march forward on our knees. The only weapon that will hold him off and push him back is the weapon of prayer. And that is why we pray without ceasing. Prayer is not so much another weapon on our list of weaponry. It's the battle. Prayer is the battle. And we've set a time during the week for our church family. We have prayer on Wednesday night here, 6:38. I'm 6:30 to 8 or 8:30. I'm looking for some prayer warriors. I'm looking for some people to set aside time to come in and pray for our community, for our nation, for our president, for our leaders. I mean, there are some wacko people in leadership right now. I mean, there are things that are coming out of their mouths, and I'm thinking to myself, God has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers, and that's Satan. And at least the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine upon them. We need some prayer warriors to invade the souls of our leaders, to touch them with the truth of God's word. On Sunday morning here, if you're willing to get up earlier, we pray from 9 to 9:30 for the service. And then we have a class for people that want to pray. And I looked in there. There was 3 prayer warriors in there today. Thank you for coming. And thank you for praying. Bill, thank you for leading us. I really feel like God has sent you here, Bill, to tell us to get on our knees, to tell us to pray, to tell us that we have power with the Holy Spirit when we get on our knees and pray and ask Him to fill us. Joel said, blow a trumpet in Zion. In chapter 2, and sound the alarm, my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it's near. And in verse 11, he says, the Lord utters his voice before his army. And I'm telling you something, his voice is being uttered today. Because when you take God's word and utter it and proclaim it in truth, the Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. You want to be strong in the Lord? Carry out his word. You want to be strong in the Lord? Live out his word. You want to be strong in the Lord? Pray. Grab a hold of people. Jude, which was really Jesus' half-brother, wrote, have compassion on some. Snatch them out of the fire. Pray that the Lord will grab a hold of them. So he says, for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. And who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. And with fasting and weeping and mourning. And I read that from that prophet. And I thought, that's prayer. Prayer is fasting. Prayer is weeping. Prayer is mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Very important. I looked at the early church and I thought, wow, I could spend a month on this verse. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of the bread, and to prayer. And the greatest challenge I can give you today is to pray. Luke 18:1, now he was telling him a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. It's a beautiful verse, 18:1. The New Century Version says, should always pray and never lose hope. The New American Standard Version says, should always pray and not give up. The King James Version says, always to pray and do not faint. The Holman Standard Bible says, pray always and not become discouraged. The Phillips Bible says, they must always pray and never lose heart. And then the Message, who calls Habakkuk Hank, says, it was necessary for them to pray continually and never quit. I want to challenge you as a believer to develop a strong and effective prayer life. Prayer allows God to do more. And I read this in the book Caleb gave me. Prayer allows God to do more in days and hours or even seconds that we could accomplish without Him in months or years of work. Prayer is a powerful time saver. Once we understand this principle, we will learn to say, I'm too busy not to pray. the difference between a mediocre Christian and a great Christian is the frequently spending time in prayer. I don't understand it. I can't give it to you in words sometimes, but I know the more that I pray, the more God works. And I truly believe that for your lives as well. The more God works, the better things end up being. On many levels, I truly believe this. I don't care if you're a doctor, if you have a doctorate degree, or you only went to eighth grade. Prayer is the determining factor in spiritual leadership. You want to be an elder in this church? You want to serve as an elder in this church? Pray. Be strong in your prayer. One of the most important questions that we can ask a person who aspires to be an authentic leader, who aspires to be an authentic Christian, is when do you pray? When is your time with God? Most of us, including me, need to set a daily time or times if we hope to build a dynamic prayer life. You may choose morning, you may choose the afternoon, evening, but we need at least choose a time or several times for prayer. And I truly believe this, and I will stand upon this the rest of my life. God listens when we pray for others. The more we pray, the more God works. God's greatest works are often in our response to our greatest prayers. Intercessory prayer is a determining factor, especially for leaders. We can come up with great programs and great Sunday schools and great curriculum, because there's a lot of great curriculum out there. But it's useless without prayer. True prayer not only speaks, but it also listens. Prayer connects us with God, and God knows everything. When we listen in prayer, God gives us insight to important matters. Suddenly, I put in your listening guide, we have a fresh perspective on a complex situation, or we may gain new understanding of the needs and strengths and struggles and potentials of those we have the privilege to lead. Through prayer, we are able to discern the key to unlock the heart of a difficult person, or recognize the right person to hire, or to know when to delegate important responsibilities, or to recognize whom to recruit as a potential leader. When we interviewed Pastor Caleb here 2 years ago now, it'll be 2 years coming up, I'm telling you, we interviewed him so many times, it was out of control. Because we felt like we brought in the wrong people here to minister to our teenagers. And after about Keith and I interviewed him, the staff and I interviewed him, and one time we came back here and Caleb goes, "Do you mind if I go in the sanctuary and pray if this is God's will for me to come here?" And every one of us in the staff came out here with him. We stood right here in a circle and prayed that God would show us He's the one. And God answered our prayer because we lifted Him up in prayer. And we're walking out of here just praising God. Darlene happened to be next to me, and I'm going to embarrass you, Darlene, but I'm going to say it. Darlene looked at me, whispered over, "You know He's the right guy for us, don't you?" You know, women, they just lay it out, man. You know what I mean? Women just lay it out. I love it. You know He's the right one, don't you? And now he's in Hilton Head suffering with Jesus with his wife. Praise God. Praise God. I love that guy, man. It's exciting. We're blessed to have him here. With this message today, I hope that I can inspire you. And if the band wants to come forward, I hope that I can inspire you to pray more. To pray more often, to pray more effectively and more contagiously than ever before. Then I put some questions. I can't remember whether I put them in your listening guide or not. Why not start today? Why not take some time praying about your prayer life? Why not watch less TV this week and spend more time praying? Why not surf the internet less this week and spend more time praying? Why not begin each day talking to God? Why not talk to God as you fall asleep tonight? Why not make a few special appointments to pray this week? Why not? Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in help of time of need. Before we take the offering, Jim, Pastor McCullough, I want you to come up here. Here's a brother going to Brazil to share the gospel. Am I right? Are you going there to share the gospel, or are you going there to suffer like Caleb and Julie? Praise God. I'm just teasing you. We want to pray over you, man. I love this guy, man. He is a man of God. He loves the Lord. He loves the Word. Am I right? Praise God. Jim, I want you to pray for him. In fact, I want the church family to come up and lay hands. I mean, he's going on a mission with the gospel, with the good news. And God is lining up people right now in Brazil for this young man, because I think he's younger than me. This young man is going to go down there and share the gospel. Jim, pray for him. This is beautiful.
Father God, Lord.
Hello?
Yeah. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for this brother, Lord. We thank you for this body, Father. Lord, let you just, we just wanted to see you move, Lord, on this trip. I know that that's Keith's heart, God. And just thank you for this message on prayer and this this time just to anoint him, Father, Lord. Just for you to hear our voices in our hearts, Lord, that we want him to be used, Lord, to spread your kingdom, Father. Lord, we just pray that you would encourage him on this trip as he encourages others. Father, we pray that you'd build up your kingdom. Lord, we know that there are more than just one going on this trip. Father, we pray for safe travel, that your angels would surround them, Father. Father, we pray that your kingdom would expand, Father. We just thank you so much, Father, Lord, that you are moving here and in that nation, Lord, for such a time as this. Father, we just thank you for this day, Father. God, we just ask that you would help each of us, Father, Lord, to just get out of the way, Lord, and to let you be seen, Lord. Get ourselves out of the way. We were talking in class today, Father, about the only thing that comes between your doctrine and the action that you would require of us is ourselves. So, Father, I pray that each of us would decrease and that you would increase, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you have given Keith here everything that is needed through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just thank you that you will be glorified, Lord. And just pray, Lord. Just pray for safety and safe return. And we pray for his family, Father. We lift them up, Lord, that they would be taken care of, Lord, by you, by neighbors, Lord, by friends, Lord, that Keith would be able to know that his home is under your protection, Father. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. I mean, Jen's praying. I got to be honest with you. What's going through my head is every one of you are on a mission this week.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Every one of you are on a mission this week. It might be somebody in your neighborhood. It might be somebody in your job. Kathy and I have a mission. It's Devon Park Square in Round Hill, Virginia. And last night we were squirt guns. I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. If the ushers could come forward, we're going to take an offering and then we're going to worship. But then this altar is going to be open for prayer. We have some prayer warriors that attend this church. And every week we want to take this time. There might be somebody you want to pray for. There might be yourself that you want to pray for. Father, I ask you to bless our offering today. Lord, thank you for all you're doing with our finances, Father. Father, I ask each person to look at the sheet in their bulletin and see how we're being blessed by you. But at the same time, we have needs here, Father. Father, I pray that you bless our offering. Father, I pray that you bless this prayer time, that we can use the rest of this service, Father, to lay hands on one another, to lift them up to you, Father, to ask you to bless them and pour into them, Father. Now I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
After the plate passes, will you please stand and worship and come and pray?